AC Bhaktivedanta Swamishla Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narancheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirae. Nashta Praesha Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 14, titled The Story of King Vena, Text 18. Yasya Rashtre Pure Chaiva Bhagavan Yajna Purushaha Ijyate Svena Dharmena Janair Varna Varna Shramanvita Yasya Rashtre Pure Chaiva Bhagavan Yajna Purushaha Ijyate Svena Dharmena Janair Varna Shramanvitai Yasya Rashtre Pure Chaiva Bhagavan Yajna Purushaha Ijyate Svena Dharmena Janair Varna Shramanvitai Yasya Rashtre Pure Chaiva Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Ijyate Svena Dharmena Janair Varna Shramanvitai Yasya, whose, Rashtre, in the state or kingdom, Pure, in the cities, Cha, also, Eva, certainly, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna Purushaha, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, Ijyate, is worshipped, Svena, their own, Dharmena, by occupation, Janai, by the people, Varnashrama, the system of 8 social orders, Anvitei, who follow. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the king is supposed to be pious, in whose state and cities the general populace strictly observes the system of 8 social orders of Varna and Ashrama, and where all citizens engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations. Purport: the state's duty and the citizen's duty are very nicely explained in this verse. The activities of the government head or king, as well as the activities of the citizens, should be so directed that ultimately everyone engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king or government head is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is therefore supposed to see that things go on nicely and that the citizens are situated in the scientific social order comprised of 4 Varnas and 4 Ashramas. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that unless people are educated or situated in the scientific social order comprised of 4 Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and 4 Ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, society can never be considered real human society, nor can it make any advancement towards the ultimate goal of human life. It is the duty of the government to see that things go on in terms of Varna and Ashrama. As stated herein, Bhagavan Yajna Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the Yajna Purusha, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 5, Text 29, Bhokta Ram Yajna Tapasam. Krishna is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifice. He is also the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Therefore, he is known as Yajna Purusha. The word Yajna Purusha indicates Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, or any personality of Godhead in the category of Vishnu Tattva. In perfect human society, people are situated in the orders of Varna and Ashrama and are engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu by their respective activities. Every citizen engaged in an occupation renders service by the resultant actions of his activities. That is the perfection of life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Text 46, Yata pravirtir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection. Thus, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Shudras and Vaishyas must execute their prescribed duties, as these duties are stated in the Shastras. In this way, everyone can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. The king or government head has to see that the citizens are thus engaged. In other words, the state or the government must not deviate from its duty by declaring that the state is a secular one, which has no interest in whether or not the people advance in Varnashrama Dharma. Today, people engaged in government service and people who rule over the citizens have no respect for the Varnashrama Dharma. They complacently feel that the state is secular, In such a government, no one can be happy. The people must follow the Varnashram Dharma and the king must see that they are following it nicely. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purva. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nakaragramatharine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranatana Dasehti Namine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Hukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dintarinam Yatkripa tamaham bandhe paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya vishwaram Katanjana smite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhave Vismrite vipritam syat shri chaitanyam namamitam The king is supposed to be pious in whose state and cities The general populace strictly observes the system of 8 social orders of Varna and Ashrama and where all citizens engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations. So I've been reminded that there are several devotees who are serious and who are as real as the devotees sitting in this class who are watching every day the Srimad Bhagavatam classes over the net. So, to all the devotees watching on the net, greetings from Sri Mayapudam. Okay, so here, in this chapter, we find that the sages are trying to impart good instructions to King Vena. So what was the concern before? That the king was irresponsible, and the state was in the danger of being in the hands of rogues and thieves. So this is the context, and the sages are now instructing King Vena about the importance of establishing Varnashrama Dharma in his kingdom. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Society can never be considered real human society, nor if these four orders are not established. So Prabhupada is making the point that unless we establish this Varnashram Dharma, unless there is Varnashram Dharma in society, it can never be considered as a real human society. So that's why Prabhupada often called modern civilization animal civilization. And in several lectures that Prabhupada gave on the first canto verses dealing with Varnashrama, Prabhupada brought out what is actually animal life. So he explains that if, for those of you who are familiar with Devanagari, there are actually 32 consonants. Now these 32 consonants, first 25 of them come in groups of 5. So it starts with ka ka ga ga nga, cha cha ja ja nya, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, then pa pa ba ba ma. So this pa pa ba ba ma, the fifth of the 5 sets, this is called the pa varga. It's called the pa varga because it starts with pa, pa pa ba ba ma. And this has got a significance. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter, verse number 9, we have dharmasya hi apavargasya. So what is the purpose of dharma? To replace pavarga. So Prabhupada goes on to explain in detail what is this pavarga. And so animal life, so pa, pa, bha, ma. So pa means parishrama. Parishrama means very hard labor. Very hard labor. So animals, they have to all work very hard. Then bha. Bha means, first is pa, then is pha. So bha. Bha means, by working so hard, Prabhupada gives the example of the horses. So they work so hard that it generates foam in their mouth. And Prabhupada goes on to explain, in modern civilization, first of all, everybody has to work very hard. And sometimes we see that by working very hard, our mouths become dry. And there is some kind of foam generation in the mouth. Although it may not manifest so visibly externally like the horses. So this pa is called foam. Then ba. 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 So ba, Prabhupada explains as bafflement. So after working so hard and there is foam at the mouth, still there is bafflement. So this is very easy. Ba, you just have to add F-F-L-E-M-E-N-T. So ba is stands for bafflement. And then and then pa. Pa. Next is B-A, then B-H-A. It's like B-A, P-H-A, B-A, B-H-A. So B-H-A refers to fear. So there is constant fear in this material world. Finally, Ma. Ma stands for Mrityu. Mrityu means death. So this is what constitutes an animal life, this pavarga. Simply hard labor, foaming at the mouth, bafflement, fear, and finally death. So Prabhupada explains that if a human being knows nothing better than this, then he is considered to be an animal. Because he is simply into this business of pavarga. So what is the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma? Dharmasya hi apavargasya. So the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma is to nullify this pavarga. So you have pavarga, when you add A in front of it, A, so you become apavarga, apavarga, which means to nullify this pavarga. And only when this system of Varnashram Dharma is present in human society, then we can say that it is a human society. So we have in the Bhagavatam, dharmasya hi apavargasya narto artopakaya kalpate narthasya dharmaikantasya kamolabaya hi smritaha. All occupational engagements or dharmas are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service or dharma should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So this is the first step. That to elevate human beings from animal life, so first of all, Varnashram Dharma is required. Now, we'll talk about the modern context a little later, I'll come to that a little later. I'm just talking about the concept in general. Now, how is it applicable in modern times? What are we supposed to do? I'll deal with that a little later. Right now, I'm just dealing with the concept of animal life and Varnashrama Dharma. So, and what is the purpose of this Varnashrama Dharma? This should never be performed for material gain, because this is a system that Krishna himself has created. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 13, Chaturvarna Maya Shrishtam. So, this has been created by Krishna. So, this is the best form in which one can live in this material world. However, the purpose of the system is not that one lives very nicely in the material world and becomes happy and forgets about everything else. That defeats the whole purpose of Varnashram Dharma. So therefore it's mentioned, they should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service or dharma should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So first of all, above animal life is Varnashram Dharma. And Varnashrama Dharma is not simply meant to live a happy life in this material world. So then what is the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma? A few verses later, it's mentioned in this first canto, chapter 2, text 13. Atat pumbe dridha shreshta varmashrama vibhagashaha swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So the translation goes, O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging their duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So, Haritoshanam. So the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma is not that one leads a comfortable life in this material world. Rather, the purpose of Varnashrama Dharma is that one pleases Lord Hari. Haritoshanam. So then, how do we please Lord Hari? So, we need instructions from the spiritual master. So during Srila Prabhupada Centennial, there was a magazine which is called Prabhupada Toshini. So to come to this point of Haritoshanam, to please Hari, we have to understand how to please Prabhupada. This is our first thing. Prabhupada Toshanam. Because Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadad Na Gutakutopi, which means the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the perfection. So without pleasing him, one cannot please Hari. So, first of all, we have to understand what does our founder Acharya, Prabhupada, want us to do. So this is our first business. And without trying to please him, we cannot try to please Hari. So then the question comes, what does he want us to do? Yes, we all know that he wants us to engage in the ninefold practices of bhakti. Not just engage in these practices, but engage in them intensely. Now, Prabhupada was quite fond of using the expression, the Krishna consciousness movement has declared war on Maya. You know, so that is a very common phrase that Prabhupada used throughout his life, even up to the very end. So then one may think that, war. So the moment you talk in terms of Varnashram means social society order. So how does the concept of war, how is the concept of war compatible with social order? You know, because war generally means chaos, confusion, emergency, things like that. So how do we reconcile this concept of war with the concept of social order? You know, so in fact there was even an article that was written in one scholarly journal by a devotee who claimed that during Prabhupada's time, he established Krishna consciousness in a warlike mode, but now he does not want us to do that. Now we should try to establish Varnashrama Dharma, try to be peacefully and peacefully try to execute Krishna consciousness. But actually, that misses the whole point. That misses the whole point because it is not that the kind of war that Prabhupada is referring to conflicts with a social order that Prabhupada wants us to establish, and nor does it interfere with the steady functioning of the Krishna consciousness movement. Rather, it is at the very heart of the Krishna consciousness movement. Because if you look at, we have from various references that Prabhupada's identity we understand him to be the general in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army. He's considered the Senapati Bhakta. So this is not some temporary thing that Prabhupada employed from 1965 to 1977, warlike mode. No, but this is his eternal temperament. He's a general. And what kind of general? He's a general in Lord Chaitanya's army. So what kind of war is he referring to? He's referring to the war on Maya, because it is Maya's business to keep people in this material world, to keep people in animal life, to keep people imprisoned in this material world. So Prabhupada said, let us do paraupakar, let us fight this Maya, let us do benefit for the people in general. So Prabhupada writes here that there is one particular conversation. I think that, okay, yeah, here. This is an evening darshan in Washington DC on the 8th of July 1976. If Krishna wants, in old age I was living a retired life in Vrindavan. He asked me, get out, go to America. So I came at the age of 70 years. Actually, nobody goes out of home. But Krishna asked me, get out and go. So I came. And although I've got the best temple in Vrindavan, I cannot live there. But a fighting soldier is honored by the government. He maybe dies. He's recognized by the government. Here is a soldier laid down his life by fighting. So, we prefer that life. We shall die fighting with Maya. So you can see, this is 1976. We see that Prabhupada spoke about Varnashrama right from 1973, 1974. In fact, from the very beginning he began to speak about Varnashrama, but he didn't emphasize it until 1973, 1974. This is 1976. So you see, he's saying, we shall die fighting with Maya. So we prefer that life. So we have to understand that when Prabhupada instructed us, okay, to establish the Varnashrama order, what is the purpose? What is the whole purpose of this Varnashrama order? It is to benefit the people in general. And then Prabhupada gives the example. Just like when I came to the West, he says that I used to cook, I used to clean. Not that I have to do the work, but because you didn't know how to do it, I had to teach you. So it is not that because I started cleaning, I have become a mopper, Prabhupada says. No, that is not my position. I am trying to serve Krishna. But to set an example, I am doing it. So Prabhupada's point in these Varnashrama talks was that people in general are very disturbed in this age. It's an animal life. So he wanted to provide a system of stability by which people could practice Krishna consciousness nicely. So the whole concept of Varnashrama Dharma, the whole context in which Prabhupada introduced Varnashrama Dharma was Paraupakar. So this is called Daiva Varnashram Dharma, not the Varnashram Dharma where everybody lives nicely, things are going on peacefully and we're very happy. That is not the point. The point is Paraupakar. So this is the context. All the time, this is the context in which Prabhupada spoke about it. And then, he gave the example. He was very fond of using this example. He gave the example that he noticed that there was a railroad advertisement. And the railroad advertisement was encouraging everybody in the railroad department to keep the wheels moving. So then Prabhupada says, so one may think that a clerk working in the office, how is he keeping the wheels moving? No. Then Prabhupada says, no. He has some claims, there is some claims to settle, or this complaint he has to address to it. All these things are to ensure that the wheels are moving smoothly. Then he goes on to say, okay, some station may require 10 wagons. So a request may come to the office of the superintendent. So the clerk in the office has to ensure that he processes the file properly, so that the station wagons can be delivered quickly so the wheels can keep moving. So he says that everybody in the railroad office is concerned with keeping the wheels moving. So he said, this is the example. So this is what we want, that the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is Paropakar. So it is not that if somebody is not preaching directly, he is not concerned with preaching. No, everybody in this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose, Paropakar, to keep the wheels moving, to preach. So Prabhupada brings out this point with this example. And not only this example, several other places, Prabhupada actually mentions that particular point, that everything in our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this business of Paropakar. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to set up a social system, Prabhupada wanted it, that we try to establish a social system so people can be engaged steadily in Krishna consciousness. We see that towards the later part, where when Prabhupada sees that the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are falling down, he says that to become Vaishnava is not easy. Because why are they falling otherwise? So he says, okay, establish the system, both as to set an example for people outside
and for our own devotees. For our own devotees, so that they can be steady in Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada, as usual, is very careful. When Prabhupada makes a point, he tries to explain it thoroughly from different angles of vision. He tries to explain it repeatedly so that we get it very clearly. So he says, but that does not mean, for example, he says that, okay, somebody in the Krishna consciousness movement may be doing the work of a Shudra. Somebody may be doing the work of a Brahmana. So, but that does not mean that the person doing the work of a Shudra is inferior to the person doing the work of a Brahmana. Rather, in Mayapur, on the 14th of February 1977, he makes his point very emphatically, very clearly, that a person who is doing the work of a Shudra in the Krishna consciousness movement is as good as someone doing the work of a Brahmana. So, Prabhupada is repeatedly trying to stress, the point is, this society, this system that we want to create is simply so that devotees can steadily progress on in their path of Krishna consciousness. It is not to create some artificial superiority. Oh, the Brahmanas are better, or the Shudras are better. And Prabhupada says, this mentality, the American Vaishnavas, Indian Vaishnavas, this is hellish. Prabhupada says, this is a hellish mentality. So the mentality should be, everybody is a Vaishnava. So whether one is doing a Shudra work, one is whether doing Brahminical work, or whatever work, but you're not supposed to discriminate. Oh, this is Brahmana. Oh, he's lesser. Oh, this is he's greater. Oh, this is Shudra. This is lesser. No. The purpose is so that everybody can engage vigorously in their Krishna consciousness and help in setting this example so that we can benefit the others. So the whole purpose is everybody can be enthused by being in their natural situation. Like, for example, even today, we may not have a formal system of Varnashram in our society, but we can notice that for our general purpose, okay, we come to the temple, we all meet together, we attend the Bhagavatam class, so there are some standard activities which all of us perform. But in our life, in the other part of the day, we have certain friends, we associate with certain kind of people. And who are the kind of people whom we associate with? They are the kind of people whom we have a similar nature, with whom we have a similar nature. So it's a very natural thing. The Varnashram is not something which is artificially required to be imposed. But just that, Prabhupada says, just organize it. It's not something which needs to be artificially imposed. Now, it's happening naturally anyway. But organize it and provide facilities so that devotees can be steadily engaged according to their natures. Then one can ask, okay, one is engaged according to the occupational natures, but there may be so many other things which may be required to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. So is one supposed to just stick on to one's occupation? No. The point is, yes, one has to, this occupational thing is simply for creating stability in a devotee's life. But that is not the all in all. The all in all is to come to the platform where one can do anything to please Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that in his own life, of course, we see in the own life, in Prabhupada's own life, he did so many things. He managed, he gave classes, he did all kinds, he swept the floor, he did all kinds of things. So whatever it takes for the Krishna consciousness movement, that we should be willing to do. So we have to come to that platform. But before we come to that platform, it may not be possible in the preliminary stages of Krishna consciousness to do whatever it takes to serve Krishna. That is what Prabhupada tried in the beginning. We can see, initially he says, Varnashram is not so practical in this age. So many things he says in the beginning. But when he saw that devotees were not steady, devotees are falling down, then he began to speak. Okay, let them become steady first of all. You know. So Prabhupada was, this is an element of his compassion. It is not a compromise. It is an element of his compassion. It is based on the concept of Parabhagar. First of all, let them become stable and help others. Let us help everybody. So this is the mentality of a Vaishnava. I'll come back to that a little later, that Vaishnava is always thinking, not just for himself, but how to serve others. So, in the preliminary stages, one may need to be engaged according to one's own nature. But the test of Krishna consciousness is, am I advancing sufficiently enough? Am I coming to the platform that I can do whatever it takes to serve Krishna? So that is the perfection. And here, there is something interesting that Prabhupada says in that regard. He speaks about First of all, try to understand. A devotee is neither Brahmana nor Shudra. He may act like a Shudra, but he is not Shudra. He may act like a Brahmana, he is not Brahmana. He is Vaishnava. Just like gopis, they are village cowherds women. They are, according to social construction, they are not very high class. They do not belong to the Brahmana class. But their worship, method of worship, has been taken the highest. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadu vargena. From Lord Chaitanya's statement, there is no better method of worshipping Krishna than the method conceived by the gopis. They were village girls, and practically their character was also not good, because at dead of night they are going to Krishna. But why they have been taken as the most important devotee of Krishna? Because the love was so high class. It is the test how much one has learned to love Krishna. That is wanted. Apparently, he may appear as Brahmana, a Shudra or Vaishya. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only business is to see. Savai Pumsham Paravo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adokshaje. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Jai, that is wanted. So you can see, the point is to reach the stage of purely loving Krishna. So we have to come to that platform. To come to that platform, initially, we may have to need varnashram or some occupation in which we can be stable. And if we are looking for material stability, then we should know it as a fact that this is the way. Because Krishna has created this Chaturvarna Maya Shishtam. He has created this for this purpose, so that one can be steadily engaged. It is not. There is no replacement for this. We should understand. There is no replacement for this. Today, the modern society may have some alternatives. New age, all the psychology, so many different things. But this is not a substitute. This is not a substitute. Rather, we should always remember that Prabhupada has come to save us, not just from birth, death, disease and old age. But rather, He has come to also save us from birth, death, disease, old age and new age. So, this is not the prescription of Srila Prabhupada. The prescription is, we go back to Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said, I want this Varnashrama system to be established. So, this is the solution for us. Rather than adopting the solution, if we go outside the scope of Prabhupada's teachings, then we are sure to be frustrated. It will produce some short-term results. Just like Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that the mode of passion, it is not that it cannot produce any happiness. It can produce some happiness, some so-called happiness. But it's like the mode of passion. It is happiness in the beginning, but poison in the end. Ultimately, you will end up bafflement. The bar will come. Because this is all based on mundane research, right? Like, what is handed down in the scripture is coming from Krishna. It's handed down. It's not a subject matter of research. But rather, what we come up with our own minds, the so-called solutions, is surely meant to baffle. The Ba element will come in the Pavarga. So, if one doesn't want to be baffled, then one should seriously consider this system of Varnashram. How to implement? Now, how to implement it is a very larger question. It's a very big question. How do we do it? But at least, we should have faith that this is the way to go. That whatever we need for our stable Krishna conscious life in this material world is provided for in the Bhagavatam. And we simply have to take it and do it. And so whatever so-called unhappiness and misery that we are feeling is simply because we are not in line with the system. The more we are in line with the system, the more we are materially stable. Of course, one thing I want to clearly mention is practice of Krishna consciousness is independent of Varnashram Dharma. It is not that if one is not following Varnashram Dharma, one cannot practice bhakti. Rather, one can practice bhakti. But there is danger that if one does not practice with proper intensity, like the kind of intensity that Prabhupada expected us to perform, like the initial days, the kind of intensity that he established Krishna consciousness with, that kind of intensity, unless we have practiced with that kind of intensity, tivrena bhakti yogena, there is danger of material instability, there is danger of fall down. So if we want to ignore Varnashram altogether, then we should engage in that kind of practice of devotional service, that intense form. It is not that if one practices Varnashrama, one should not practice intense devotional service. One should still practice intense devotional service.
It's not that, okay, because we are trying to practice Varnashram, we need not practice intense devotional service. No, we have to practice intense devotional service anyway. But here we are provided a materially comfortable situation to practice. There you don't have that comfortable situation. Here you have a comfortable situation. In either case you have to practice intensely. But here you can practice intensely in a comfortable situation. There you don't have a comfortable situation. So therefore there is the risk that you may fall down or you may be unsteady. So therefore we have to understand that ultimately if we don't practice properly, I mean if you are not following the Varnashram Dharma and we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness somehow and we are not intense, then there is no reason to complain. Obviously we will be disturbed. Obviously we are going to be confused. Obviously there may be fall down. So there is nothing to complain. You're not following the system for material stability means you have to intense properly in Krishna consciousness, intensely in Krishna consciousness. So either you fully engage in Krishna consciousness by neglecting whatever Varnashram, or you engage intensely in Krishna consciousness by following Varnashram. But either way, unless you engage intensely, there is no question of steady devotional service. So if one does not engage intensely, then one has to, if one does not engage intensely in Krishna consciousness, then whether it is, with Varnashram or without Varnashram, one is bound to suffer. But at least if one engages intensely with Varnashram, it's quite a comfortable situation. There's less danger. Otherwise one falls down to one's original condition. Here there is danger and one will not fall down. So the whole scheme of Varnashram that Prabhupada is mentioning, the whole context is one becomes steady. And one should not forget, as Prabhupada mentions, that this is simply to set an example. This is simply an example so that we can help others. We can help others to become Krishna conscious. So I think I'll stop this lecture by reading two excerpts from Prabhupada's conversations. And I would request you to carefully hear these conversations. You can see, these are actually conversations where he discusses elaborately about Varnashram. And finally, at the end, he concludes by saying a few words. And I picked up two such conversations. In both these conversations, please try to hear carefully how is Prabhupada concluding his talk on Varnashram. Okay, first one, this is in Vrindavan. It is not a profession. Now Krishna consciousness is my profession. I am getting very easily food and shelter. Just like the Indians, they are doing a profession, say another means of livelihood. Not like that. It is for paraupakar, actually benefiting the others. That is Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna will be very much pleased. Oh, he is trying. Notice Krishna proper saying, then Krishna will be very much pleased. Oh, he is trying. Cause Krishna personally comes for doing this benefit to the people. And if you do, then how much Krishna will be pleased? Then, just like I am traveling in my centers, and if I see that my students, my men, are doing very nice, everything is going nice, how much pleased I will be that I'll save my labors and now write books for the rest of my time. Similarly, if Krishna sees that you are, on behalf of Krishna, you're trying to save these rascals, then he'll be very happy with you. They are rascals. The leaders are rascals. And the followers are rascals. And they're all going to hell. Nature's law is very strict. Devi hi esha gunamai mamamaya duratyaya. Nature's law is very strict. You cannot avoid it. Nature is all powerful. Krishna has given. You work in this way. She'll work. She'll punish. As soon as there is little discrepancy. You've eaten more than is necessary. Indigestion. Stop. This is nature's law. Nature will act. But you have to be indistinct. It's indistinct what Prabhupada speaks there. But you have to be with them, with knowledge, that you don't do this. Otherwise, you will be under the control of nature, life after life. Simply miseries. Paradukkha dukhi. Vaishnava's qualification is paradukkha dukhi. He is unhappy by seeing others' distress. This is Vaishnava. So note how he ends his conversation on Varnashram. He ends by this. Vaishnava is paradukkha dukhi. Then again, So organize. I can give you the idea, but I'll not very live very long. If you can carry out, you can change the whole world. Especially if you can change America, the whole world will change. Then the whole world, and it is a duty, because they are kept in darkness and ignorance, and the human life is being spoiled. These rascals, because they do not know how to live, andayatande, they are blind and they are leading. Others are blind and they are leading. And they, all of them, going to ditch. So it is a duty. There is, Chaitanya has explained, Paropakar, save them. If it is not possible to save everyone, as many as possible. This is human life. This is Krishna consciousness. To save others who are in the darkness, New Orleans. Once again, Vrindavan. Devotee, personally. Okay, he says, starts off a little bit earlier than that. My concern, Prabhupada, he's quoting Prahlad Maharaj, my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Business has become, like Prahlad Maharaj, they can chant anywhere, that's alright, Krishna will provide everything. We have no business to do. But we have to take them, because the purpose of take them means take these people with us. Because we are sympathizer, that so many people are being killed by this modern civilization. They had the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, but by the setup of this rascal civilization, they are being killed spiritually. Therefore, we have to take it. Devotee personally, he has no problem. But he pushes himself in this degraded society to teach them how to live. So Prabhupada is referring here to Varnashram, because he just spoke about Varnashram earlier. To teach them how to live, how to become gentlemen. Therefore, otherwise we have no business. But if we don't give them the opportunity, they'll not be able to come to Krishna consciousness. It'll be good for you, because Krishna will see, oh, here is my devotee, he's doing so much for me. Your service will be recognized by Krishna. Don't think that because you're teaching a Shudra how to work like this, you've become a Shudra. You are not Shudras, any circumstances. Even though you teach a Shudra how to work like a Shudra, don't misunderstand. Clearly understand what is the purpose. Is there any doubt or is it clear? So you see, and Satsurup Maharaj mentions in this conversation in New Orleans, when Prabhupada goes on to this point, others are blind and they are leading, and they are all of them going to ditch. Satsurup Maharaj comments that he was there and he saw Prabhupada was crying, tears were rolling down his clear ears. So the whole purpose is Parapakar. So I'll end by quoting once again what Prabhupada said. Clearly understand what is the purpose. Is there doubt or is it clear? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there are any questions or comments. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. You mentioned Paropkar and you mentioned we should be engaged. So sometimes you know, we want to engage, we see the devotees want to engage, they want to do service. We want to preach, but then we come across opposition, you know, like it, even like within ISKCON you come across a bureaucracy, maybe even, you know, politics. So what do you do, you know, when you face like senior devotees straight on your path of preaching? So how do you handle that? What do you do?
Okay, first of all, this whole concept of organized movement is required for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Now within the movement there may be various deficiencies, but we can take again Prabhupada's own direction on that. He says, in our society, you can find first class man, second class man, third class man, you can find all these kinds of people. And Prabhupada said, what have you got with this third class man, second class man? You've got nothing to do with it. You have to execute your business. So he says, just like a port, you're going in the port. So Prabhupada gives an example and said, you simply sit tightly on that port and you'll be carried across. So Prabhupada says, what is the business that you have to do? with these second class men or third class men. So even if there are difficulties, the point that Prabhupada is trying to make is that we have to, and we have ultimately the Krishna consciousness movement in the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may think that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, the movement kind of waned and things went haywire with the movement. But we see that ultimately it did not collapse entirely together. It was revived by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. So it would go on, because that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. It would go on somehow or the other. But Prabhupada says, but still we are concerned that we should protect our movement and we should try to do things properly. That is our duty. That is our business. So at least we should have that faith. Let us carry on our duty nicely. Like Prabhupada said, if you see a problem, try to be part of the solution. So at least we can try in our own lives, and everything begins there actually. The moment we set examples, there are others who would like to follow that example. So it is infectious, because something that is genuine, Prabhupada says, he gives the example of ghee, sweets cooked with ghee in a sweet shop in Delhi. He says, people are getting, a lot of customers are coming there. So if we practice nicely, we set an example, then obviously people will be attracted. So there will always be serious devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who will practice nicely, and people, they'll continue to attract sincere souls. There may be others who are not practicing sincerely. So Krishna has his own way of dealing with them. And this is a gentle answer. Yes.
Sometimes in ISKCON, when we discuss Varnashram, we think, how is it going to fit within our little society on a microcosmic scale? But I'm of the opinion that when Prabhupada talks about introducing Varnashram, he's thinking about society in general, the macrocosmic scale. So that requires, in order to introduce that, we must have influence within national leadership, government. It's not that we are meant to, let's say in Mayapur, where there's maybe 1,000 devotees, you just divide people up into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras in Mayapur. That doesn't work, doesn't do anything. And Prabhupada's not, as you explained, Prabhupada said that's not what we're supposed to do. But how should we approach then influencing governments and whole nations to adopt this process? I think that's what Prabhupada's aiming. And how do we do that? How do we approach that task?
In the Varnashrama conversation, other places, from all the different things that I've read, I've not come across this. There may be, but I've not come across a place where Prabhupada mentions that we should influence the government to establish Varnashram Dharma. But I do know of places very clearly where Prabhupada says that we are setting an example. So people are disturbed in this, just like when people come to a temple. It's not that everyone is in a very stable situation. So when people come to our temple, they see, oh, here is a nice engagement, here is a stable engagement. So then they can get inspired. So this model Prabhupada speaks about in different places, that you do this. So it's not that when a devotee is doing the as I read out, and also several other places, Prabhupada writes that it's not the Shudra work, therefore he becomes a Shudra. He says, we are setting an example so that people of that inclination can be attracted, can be drawn, and they can be engaged in that service, and they can become happy. He refers to the disturbed state of material civilization, and he says people are all frustrated, they don't know what exactly to do. So he says, if we create a model, that model will attract. So far, to my knowledge, there is not a place where Prabhupada speaks that we should influence the government. There may be, Prabhupada, you may have read it, I have not personally come across that. So in my understanding, this is the way to go, that if we establish it, naturally, people will be attracted.
In reply to that, I have to say that, the purport we had yesterday talked very much about this rascal democracy. And Prabhupada harps on this a lot. He said, you take demon and crazy and you contract it, it becomes democracy. So we don't have a democracy in ISKCON. We have a structure which is like tailor-made by Srila Prabhupada himself. You know, we have GBC, temple presidents, and so on. And this works well for us in a Brahminical environment. It's obvious to me that Srila Prabhupada is aiming his comments at society in general. Just somehow or other replace this democracy with a Vedic system. And yesterday this one lady was asking, well, should we have a king? Well, obviously not. But society should have a king. That's the point. That's the point of Prithu Maharaj and Vena story, is that society needs a king, someone who is not elected. Prabhupada made that, I never didn't stress it yesterday, but it's a very strong point that Prabhupada makes in the purport, that the leader, he should be there by kingship, monarchy, and the citizens should support him by the Varnashram system, by a perfect lifestyle. So, I think it's implied, it may not be directly spoken by Srila Prabhupada, although there are some quotes, I don't have them offhand, but I really do believe Prabhupada is aiming at the greater society, the macrocosm of society.
Yeah, I do believe that he's aiming, I think definitely he's aiming at the larger society, but what strategy we should use it? If somebody is willing to do it, if a leader is willing to do it, I think that would be good. Like how when Prabhupada went to meet Indira Gandhi, he had a list of points. Sanjaya, the king, the leader should be like that and things like that. So definitely Prabhupada did, want to influence society to take up this model so that things can be stable. But even if they don't listen to it, he wanted us to start off. His instruction specifically to us was both for us and for others as an example. Because even if you influence the government to take up the system, where are the examples going to be from?
You know, on my home, we have a small preaching center in Sacramento. We have a picture on the wall, a photograph of Jayapataka Maharaj. He's sitting next to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was the former prime minister, as you know. And he's feeding him prasadam, or another of the devotee, I think it's that Bhakti Vinod Swami is feeding him prasadam. So this is the kind of environment that we want to be able to work in, that we will be able to sit with presidents and prime ministers and influence them personally when they are convinced. And this is a grassroots movement. So in this way, democracy can work in our favor if we can get enough supporters, if the preaching really takes off and it becomes widespread. People will demand a higher standard from their leaders. And if this party, as a particular party, gets elected, which totally embraces Krishna consciousness, things could change radically. I think this is part of our preaching strategy, long term, or should be.
If you look at it chronologically, Prabhupada wanted ISKCON devotees, initially wanted them to run for the post of mayor or something in America. In Balavanta Prabhu, he in fact authorized it, but later he said, no, we shouldn't do this, we should only advise. He asked them to stop the campaign, and then he said that we should advise we should not be taking up personally these roles. Then he said, okay, we should take the advisory role. Of course, I understand that to mean temple resident ISKCON devotee, it's not the congregation, because anyway, that's a different thing. But at least, ISKCON's people living within ISKCON, and he expected them to give that Brahminical guidance to society. So in ISKCON's history, from what I've read, I've noticed that Prabhupada employed different strategies. One was this, then he gave it up. Then at one point he also says, what is the use of talking to all these important men? They're not listening anyway. This also he says, and says, let's not bother with them. Let's do our own thing and just propagate this Krishna consciousness movement. So there are different things that Prabhupada said. So, if they're going to listen, fine. I think that Prabhupada very much welcome it. But as the prime strategy, I think Prabhupada wanted us to do it and set an example. Then I think we can also look at other things, how to influence society. But unless we have a working model, just like when they build apartments, they have a model apartment. So unless we have something to showcase, how are we going to convince even the leaders or anybody else for that matter? So that's just a practical strategy as far as I understand it. Okay, there is a question from the internet. After class or questions about class? I don't understand this question. After class, is it a question or? After class, we can ask all the devotees, now listen to class please, or questions about class. What does it mean? Is if there are any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Can I go over to another? Well, I think probably the question refers to don't ask for comments, but Prabhupada's strategy of Bhagavatam class was so we hear Krishna consciousness from different angles of vision. So I think comments are very healthy because it provides another angle of vision to the same class. So I think comments are fine. I mean, probably that's what it's saying, that after class we can ask all the devotees, now listen to class or questions about class. Probably no comments, that's what he or she means. But comments are what make it lively. I mean, Prabhupada wanted us to discuss Krishna consciousness from different angles of vision.